We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Ray Dinger, Glenn Mack now, 94 WIP, 11 o'clock on a Sunday. We would normally be doing the pregame show, me on radio, Ray on TV, but not today. Eagles game has been pushed back to Tuesday against Washington. But we have the opportunity now to have a guest today, Derek Bodner joins us. You can follow Derek on Twitter at Derek Bodner, B-O-D-N-E-R-N-B-A. And Derek's got a new venture going on. And you know what? Let's talk about that first. Derek, you've decided to become an independent magnate. Is that correct?
We'll go with magnate. Sure, sure.
what are you doing, and how do people get involved?
So it's basically running a subscription-based newsletter. We've seen a whole bunch of people go this route of late. Mark Stein, probably the most prominent in NBA circles. But basically, it is to try to cater towards a little bit more of a diehard fan base, somebody who's really interested in collective bargaining agreement, deep dives on analytics, something of that sort. Writing to that audience, you would go to daily6.com, could subscribe there as low as $2 a month.
Very, very good. We wish you a lot of luck with that. Sixers at home tonight against a struggling New Orleans Pelicans team. Then the Sixers traveled to Boston, played tomorrow night against the Celtics. And Derek, I think we all thought, even without Ben Simmons, they'd certainly be lurking near the top of the standings. They are now 15-15, eighth place, clinging to that last playoff spot. So I guess my question for you is this what they are, or Simmons trade aside, we'll talk about that. Is this a team that we should have much higher expectations for at this point?
Yeah, I think they're probably a little better than they're playing right now, but I think the overarching concern is that they're just not good enough without a Ben Simmons trade. You know, maybe they could play. Right now they're in a horrible shooting slump. You've got some really good shooters right now who can't make anything. And then you've got some players who are in and out of the lineup, and the two of those things have made it real tough to win here over the last couple of weeks. But part of the reason that being in the shooting slump is hurting them so much is because they just don't have really all that many ways to generate good offense outside of Joel Embiid. They don't have all that many reliable players. Tyrese Maxey is great at times. Tobias Harris is in a huge slump and really underperforming. Outside of that, there's just nobody on the roster who really can create their own offense or create offense for others. And when your perimeter shooters aren't making shots and you don't have a great defense, which they don't this year, it's been real tough. So yeah, they definitely need a Ben Simmons trade to actually be relevant in the Eastern Conference. The hope is that you can bide, you know, another 6 weeks to get to the trade deadline and not be completely underwater. And in order to do that, they do have to start playing better basketball.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many things you could point to, Derek. But one of the ones that is apparent to me is they're a poor rebounding team, and especially offensive rebounds. I mean, they never get an offensive board, and I know. You know, that's, you know, especially if Embiid is standing out at the 3-point line, that takes your big man away from the basket. But I mean, is there any way they can get better off the offensive glass? Because they get nothing there, and it's hard to win in the NBA if you don't get some offensive rebounds.
Yeah, I think they're the last ranked offensive rebounding team in the NBA in terms of what percentage of their misses do they collect. I think they're last, if not their last, are right at the bottom. And part of that is Embiid, you know, plays at times at the 3-point line. But part of it is also that when trying to surround Embiid, they've just gone very heavily towards the shooters. And you've got a lot of small perimeter players. You know, Tyrese Maxey doesn't really rebound. Seth Curry doesn't really rebound. Korkmaz, Matisse Thybulle even though he's a defensive player, not a great rebounder. They've just got a lot of smaller, undersized players who don't really have a nose for rebounding. And rebounding, especially in today's NBA, when you really only have one big man on the court at all times, That has to be a collective effort, and they have way too many negative rebounders right now to be competitive in that regard. The hope is that you can get them up to at least passable offensively and pretty good. They've been good at times defensively. I think this is one of the areas where you really do miss Ben Simmons. He was a really strong defensive rebounder, especially considering he was playing the point guard spot. Losing him, I think, has exposed just, like I said, how much they have veered towards smaller, more perimeter-based shooters here over the last couple of years. I don't expect this to ever be a good rebounding team as constructed, not until a Ben Simmons trade, but they do certainly need to do better.
All right, well, let's get to the Ben Simmons trade and what may be going on. There was a lot of thought that December 15th was going to open things up because you could then trade certain guys who had been free agents that you couldn't trade before. I do hear chatter. I do hear buzz, but I don't know that it amounts to anything. What's your view right now on what may happen and when it may happen?
No, I think chatter and buzz without amounting to anything is probably the stage that we're at. Look, I think December 15th was important because if you get close to a deal, a lot more players are trade eligible now. It becomes easier to match salaries and make a multi-team deal work. And I do think this is eventually going to be a multi-team deal when you get there. But at the end of the day, you need a team willing to give you an all-star or better caliber player. And right now, there just aren't many teams who are willing to move that kind of player. You know, in order for someone of that quality to become available, I think you're going to have to wait and get closer to the trade deadline when teams are really ready to hit the eject button on their season and to blow things up. And outside of some very select few teams, like the Pacers, the Kings seem like they're always in that spot, especially when they face reality and realize it's going to be the same struggling season they always have. The Blazers seem like they could be getting to that spot depending on what they do with their open GM spot. Outside of that, there just aren't very many teams that are at that point, which is why I think this is really going to go down to the February 10th trade deadline.
Well, they're playing shorthanded every night.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, they're going to throw away the season because of is it Daryl Morey? Is this on Daryl Morey that he didn't move earlier, that now they're just going to struggle through the rest of the season or at least until the trade deadline?
Yeah, I mean, I think once he got past the free agency period in the summer, this was always – I mean, teams just aren't motivated to make trades until the trade deadline. That's always sort of been the case in the NBA. You very rarely see major blockbuster deals here in December, even in early parts of January. And I think Daryl feels like if he screws up this trade, yeah, he might get something back now that might help a little bit. It's still not going to make them a title contender. And also by, you know, trading away your best asset, you now have no real way to get an all-star or better caliber player. I think if he screwed up, it would probably be last summer. I don't think there have been really quality offers that would actually change the direction of the team available here over the last couple of months.
Are there any Simmons sightings, Derek? I mean, does anybody have any idea what he's doing now, where he is, if he's doing anything to stay in shape, if something happens, is he going to be ready to play for whatever team he goes to? Does anybody have any idea what this guy's up to?
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't really have a great answer for that. I do think if there's one thing I trust him to do, which is a pretty small list, but staying in shape is one thing he's pretty good at. So I'm sure he's putting in the work somewhere. There was the Sixers screwed up and forgot to list him on the injury report yesterday for a brief moment, and that caused a lot of people to panic and wonder what was going on. It was just a mistake. He's not any closer to playing. No, I don't know exactly who he's working out with or where he's doing it, but like I said, the one thing I do trust is that he will probably be in shape when he's ready to go.
I had such high hopes for Doc Rivers, Hall of Famer, great coach, you know, won a title. And I really question his in-game strategy, his late-game strategy, his use of players. Is Doc Rivers having a really bad season, or am I just imagining that?
Yeah, I think he's having a disappointing season. You know, I think really the warts on Rivers started to show last year in the playoffs, certainly in that Atlanta series. I think by and large, he sets a pretty good base system to get the most out of his core players, out of his focal points. And then adjusting from there, I think, can be slower than most of us would hope for. And I think that has been the case here at times. You know, I do think a lot of the problems they're having right now are a combination of, you know, player availability. They've just had a lot of small nagging injuries along with COVID misses that the whole league is going through. And also just being shorthanded. Like we said, you take $35 million out of your lineup, especially a player as unique as Simmons, because so much of the players around him were built to compensate for his weaknesses, and he made up for a lot of their own weaknesses. I think he's, you know, I don't think Doc Rivers right now is a problem with this team. But I do think, you know, when he came in here, I think a lot of people had expectations, which were probably a little bit unrealistic. But I think he, you know, I think he's doing an okay job, but I don't think he's fixing most of their problems either.
Yeah, when as a coaching point, one of the things that, you know, has me sort of scratching my head were the last couple games where the team got off to such a terrible start. I mean, to their credit, and Doc, you know, in his post-game remarks talked about how they rallied and they came back and they had gave themselves a chance at the end. But they've had a couple games here back-to-back where their first half play has just been dreadful. And it's basically buried them in games like that. And at some point, that has to come back to coaching too, right?
Well, especially the Miami game. The Miami game was frustrating because they had just gotten their doors blown off in Memphis, which you sort of understood because they were playing without Joel Embiid. But you figured they would come out back on their home court against a team that was missing most of their core players and give a good effort to get back on the winning side of the ledger. And they came out with no energy. And they were just completely flat. And certainly coaches, part of their job, a big part of their job is motivation and focus. They were not focused or motivated in that Miami game. You could say the same thing about the Brooklyn game, which obviously they got a lot better in as that game went on. But when you put yourself in a big hole like that, it's tough to come back from. Yeah, he has not pushed all the right buttons. And again, we could go back to last year where he was brought in and accountability was a big buzzword and getting Ben Simmons to step out of his comfort zone and become the player that everyone thought he should be. Clearly that didn't happen. I don't know if anyone could have gotten through it Ben at that stage of his career, but what he was brought in on was to motivate, was to get the most out of some of these players, and that by and large hasn't necessarily happened.
All right, last one, Derek, and this may appear to be a loaded question. It's certainly not intended that way. When do we get to the point when the verdict is in on the process, and can we agree that the verdict is guilty of wasting our time? Ray, did I ask that correctly?
I think I was well put.
You changed the chef on the process midway through, so I'm not sure you really get that. Look, here's what I'll say. And to me, the process ended when Hinkie left, because it's a completely – I mean, look, he hired Colangelo, and we could go over all those mistakes.
Yeah.
In a three-year period, you ended up with Joel Embiid and back-to-back number one overall draft picks. The fact that it didn't work out, I don't really think the process was a waste of time. I think the Sixers made a lot of mistakes in terms of their front office after that. Yeah, okay. I don't agree with you on that one.
I know you don't, and we never have, but that's kind of what makes it
fun. I'm happy to come on and debate that at any time, but
no,
to me, Joel Embiid is the best player they've had in a very long time.
Oh, no
they
doubt.
They had ample draft picks and
yeah, Okafor, not so much. Nerlens Noel, not so much.
Trying to think of who else was in there. In the last 20 years, like, missing on one isn't really, like, that's missing the forest for the trees, I think.
Okay.
You had a chance to build a contender here. And
they got one great tree.
That's what I asked for.
They got one great tree and then a bunch of shrubs.
Sure.
Hey, Derek, before
those great trees are tough to get in the NBA.
I understand, and I worry that great tree, they're never going to win a title.
100%. I'm with you on that.
Before we let Derek go, I have one last question. Getting back to that tree. What is his physical condition right now? Because I understand he's dealing with some more aches and pains.
Yeah. For the most part, the knee that he didn't get operated on over the summer has not seemed to be too big of an issue here, especially over the last couple of weeks. It's the rib injury, the rib soreness that he has had. It seems like something that's just lingering. It doesn't seem like anything that's going to require surgery, at least that we know of at this time. But they have been a little bit quiet on the exact nature of it and what they're doing to fix it. But it has lingered, I think, more than Joel expected and certainly more than we expected. So it's something to watch.
All right, Derek, one more time. People want to follow you, get your expert analysis. What's the new way they can do it?
Twitter at Derek Bonner NBA or daily6.com.
Daily6.com. Sounds good. We really wish you success with that. As always, thank you so much for joining us.
Yep, thank you.
Thanks, Derek.
We will talk to you soon. What?
He's still holding the light on the process.
They all are, my friend.
That's the position of all those folks now.
Yeah,
is that it? You know, you can't judge it now because Sam Hinkie didn't get a chance to finish his master plan.
Incomplete. Ray, Eric in New Jersey wants to raise a point that you and I believe is going to be a big problem this week. Erica, go for it.
Hi. Yes. So hoping you can help settle a very lively household debate. With the Eagles game moving to Tuesday, what happens with all of the parking? Because the Flyers game is happening at the same time. And, you know, just going to an Eagles game alone, I think it took us an hour to get out of there during the Saints-Eagles game. So, you know, what happens to the season ticket holders and the tailgaters paying for parking for Eagles games?
My prediction is complete and utter disaster. I don't know what else to tell you. I'm trying to follow the news, see if maybe the Flyers are going to move the time. I don't know how they're going to accommodate. Part what they're going to say is everybody should take public transportation, which is all fine and well, but that's difficult for some people to do. And parking is horrible under normal circumstances down there. It's going to be nightmarish.
Yeah, and then somebody's going to lose money, right? Because they're going to have to, if you're not allowed to park there when you paid for parking, but now a Flyers fan, you know, someone going to the Flyers game, also
yeah, they're on a parking spot. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
All true. I don't know what your family debate is, but Ray, my debate is it's going to be awful.
Yeah, it is. There's no getting around it. I mean, I don't even know if, especially with the two games going off at exactly the same time.
Yes.
You know, the Eagles crowd is an early arriving crowd because of the tailgating. There's not. So the Eagles crowd is going to be there three hours easily, filling
Tuesday,
the parking lot. So when the
Ray,
Flyers crowd starts to arrive, the parking lots, they're going to find the parking lots are already full.
Ray, it's a work day for people.
Yeah, I know.
I don't think Eagles fans are going to. Well, hold on, Erica. Hold on 1 second. I don't think Eagles fans are going to be able to show up at three. Some will, but you're not going to have the tailgate that you normally have because it's a Tuesday day and it's going to be dark.
Yeah, but I don't think it's going to stop them. I mean, the tailgate people are going to be. They'll leave work at noon. I mean, that's not a problem. You know, the number may be down a little bit, but it's not going to be down that much. And when the Flyers crowd arrives. You know, they can't arrive at the time they normally would for a Flyers game, but even if they come an hour and a half early, they're going to find the parking lots largely full. It's going to be really tough. I mean, what I would tell you is, the public transit, I think, is the way to go. I mean, drive into town, park your car somewhere in town in a garage, and just hop the Broad Street subway. I mean, and save yourself a lot of aggravation.
Yeah. All
good
right,
luck,
well,
Erica.
Thank you. Okay,
all
bye.
Right. Hey, do us a favor. Call us next week and tell us how this turns out.
Okay, we'll see.
Right.
Okay,
good
bye.
Luck. Yeah, I think it's going to be awful. I keep waiting to see, are they going to have extra buses? Are they going to? I don't know where they could open more parking spaces. There really aren't any to open up, right?
No, but, I can't imagine.
Right. But it's.
I mean, I guess. Do they already? I probably should know this. I don't even know this. Do they have spillover parking like in FDR Park, like the park across the street from the NovaCare complex? Can they park cars in there?
I think so. I mean, you can park wherever. You just have to get to the stadium.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if you actually can park in FDR Park in a situation like this, which is unusual conditions. This isn't what you normally face, but okay, this is what we're dealing with.
Yeah, people have parked in it. When we used to do the pregame show in FDR Park, and that was a while ago, so it may have changed. But 10 years ago, we used to do the pregame show over there, and cars would park there, and people would head to the stadium from there.
Oh, okay.
I don't, again, I'm assuming it's the same, but I can't guarantee that.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
I'm not giving people parking advice
other
than get there early and good luck. That's the extent of my advice.
Yeah, and I know I'm taking the subway. I mean, I'm just not even going to deal with it. And I have a parking pass. I have a parking pass, but it's getting through the gate that's the problem. And I just said, you know what, I'm just going to take the subway.
Just do me a favor. When it's all over and you get off the air at like, whatever, 1 a.m.?
Right.
Would you figure out how to get an Uber home at that time?
No, I'm just going to go out on Broad Street and stick my thumb out and see who's passing by.
Well, there's a fine idea. 215-592-9494. We are looking forward to your calls. But coming up in the next segment, we didn't get to do what we're watching yesterday. It is coming right now. And Ray's going to give you his favorite movies of the year. I'm going to give you the best TV shows of the year. My advice? Get out a pad and a pen or be by a computer because you want to type all of these down because this is going to be a bunch of stuff worthy of you watching. Ray Dinger, Glenn Mack now on 94 WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, You deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
By the way, Ray, one of these days we got to redo that. Those references are getting a little old. We've been running that same thing for more than a decade, so... Anyway, what we're watching is sponsored by Guided Door and Window. Take advantage of Guided Door and Window's big year-end sale. Receive 40% off all windows and doors until December 31st. Call or visit goguida.com. All right, you and I love doing this segment. We get a lot of feedback on this segment, which I always appreciate. And you've always been kind of the movies guy. I've always been the TV guy.
Right.
Now, this year, TV was great, and I'm going to get to that in a moment. Movies kind of sparse, and, you know, again, we were kind of locked up for a good part of the year, didn't go out. But once we did, you went to the theaters, you saw some movies, and you've said that you can't do a top 10 this year because there weren't 10 good movies.
There weren't 10 that really moved me a whole lot. I got five that I feel pretty good about that I enjoyed, but, you know, not too many blockbusters. I am actually, this afternoon... After I finish doing the show with you, my wife and I are going to go see West Side Story, I fully expect probably the next time we speak, I will say, remember my list of the top five? Well, I have to put this in here somewhere because everything I have heard about West Side Story, the Steven Spielberg's rendering of that great play slash movie has been stellar. So mm-hmm. I fully expect that to be maybe the best movie I've seen all year, but I haven't seen it yet. So I have to go with the five that I've seen.
All right.
Okay, this is in no particular order. I will tell you that in the realm of music, I really liked In the Heights, which was early in the year, the Lin-Manuel Miranda play put on film. Lin-Manuel Miranda is actually in it. He has sort of a minor role, but he's in it. But it's a terrifically energetic, wonderful young cast. Jimmy Smits, who a lot of people remember from TV, has a nice role in it. He's quite good. But
yeah, the singing, I watched it. I was surprised he could sing a little bit.
Yes, he can. I actually saw him do Shakespeare in the Park up in Central Park in New York a few years ago. And you wouldn't think of Jimmy Smits doing Shakespeare, but he's got a lot of range. And in this film, yeah, he sings and he's quite good at it. I just really liked it. I liked the energy. I liked the music. I like Lin-Manuel Miranda. I thought it was just really, really well done. So In the Heights is one of my five. Another film that I reviewed just a couple weeks ago was Last Duel, which was a Ridley Scott film set in medieval times. Ben Affleck, Matt Damon, Adam Driver. It all builds to a final. It's the last duel to the death of that time in France. And it comes down to the big showdown. This big joust between Matt Damon and Adam Driver. And it's really good. I mean, Ridley Scott, if you know Ridley Scott, of course, he did Gladiator. So he's really good at this kind of action picture. And there's some the pace of the film is a little slow, but when it builds to the final duel, it's pretty compelling stuff. So that's in my list. Another thing that I saw that I think you would have liked, Glenn, and you may have even seen it. You're a big Bob Odenkirk fan. You're a big
Yes. Oh, yeah. The TV show, which wasn't on this year, is great. Yes.
Yeah, Better Call Saul.
Love it.
He played in a movie this year called Nobody, and it was terrific. I mean, you talk about a sleeper movie. I don't know how many people saw it, but he plays this sort of – he's introduced to you as kind of this schlumpy suburban husband, kind of a nebbishy kind of guy who lives in a neighborhood. Like the trash men don't stop to pick up his trash, and he's like standing there with the cans. Like nothing goes right for him. But it turns out that in his previous life, and before he met his wife and began having a family, he was like a CIA assassin. And he subjugated that whole side of his personality. And he's now living this very suburban, you know, sort of meek, mild kind of thing. But he finally gets pushed to the breaking point, and he goes back to being what he was. And I'll tell you, you wouldn't think that he could pull it off.
He's doing the old Charles Bronson role there, is he?
Yeah. I mean, it's sort of a, you know, we've seen this thing done before, you know,
sure,
Liam Neeson and Taken. We've seen, you know, Denzel Washington as the Equalizer. It's the same thing about a CIA-trained killer who's gotten away from it but now has to go back to it. And that's what Bob Odenkirk is in this. And you wouldn't think that he could pull it off, but he does. It's really, really good. If you can find it somewhere, watch it. It's very entertaining.
All right.
And the other one was a musical biopic, the story of Aretha Franklin called Respect,
yeah,
where Jennifer Hudson is just absolutely great as the Queen of Soul. And then the last one is the one that you and I have in common. You saw it on TV. I saw it in a screening in town. Summer of Soul, the documentary it's put together about the Harlem Jazz Fest, Harlem Music Festival back in the 60s, and it was found footage. It was literally in a basement for 50 years, and Questlove of the Roots heard about it, dug it out, put it together in a film, executive produced by Jeffrey Lurie. Got to give him credit for that. And it is just absolutely wall-to-wall terrific. Might be the best film I saw all year. If I had to pick number one, probably Summer of Soul would be it.
Well, that's interesting because I am going to bring that up in a moment. All right. So, by the way, Rhea Hughes just sent me a text that says she and her son went to see Spider-Man yesterday. Thought it was great. You should check it out, Ray.
Okie doke.
Okay. My best shows of 2021. I'm going to give you the runners up first. This is 11 through 20. And I'm going to start with the documentaries because there were a lot of great music documentaries this year. Summer of Soul doesn't make my top 10, barely. It probably should. It's great. I also put Get Back, the one about the Beatles, on my runners-up, and 1971, the year music changed everything. Tremendous music documentaries this year. All of these were good. I also put my runners-up list, Last Chance U Basketball. You know that theme where they've kind of found the community college, and this was a basketball. It was great. It's terrific. Comedies that make my runners-up list. It was the final year of Kim's Convenience, a show I always enjoyed. Things We Do in the Shadows, which is a sitcom about vampires who live in Long Island, is very funny. And Ted Lasso didn't make my top 10. I liked it a lot. It wasn't as good as the first season. I think the first season coming out early in the pandemic kind of gave it a little more help. I don't want to say helped it, but made me appreciate it more. It was good this year. It wasn't great. Those are my runners up. And my runners up other shows are The Morning Show, which you and I have discussed before.
Yes.
On Apple TV Plus, which is good. Line of Duty Season 6. You know I'm a huge fan of the British cop shows. And How To with John Wilson, which is on HBO Season 2 right now. I may review that next week. It's crazy, but it's phenomenal. It's really funny. All right. My top 10, Ray. 10 to 1. Number 10, Dopesick on Hulu. I don't know if I've had the chance to talk about this with you. A very tough drama based on the opioid epidemic and Purdue Pharmaceuticals' role in creating that. Michael Keaton is in. He steals the show. He's the small-town doctor who thinks he's helping his patient and then realizes too late that he's not. Dopesick on Hulu is number 10. Number 9, Curb Your Enthusiasm on HBO. It is amazing, Ray, how Larry David can do it year after year. Curb is in, I will use the cliche, pretty good form. As Larry David, who really was the brains and the soul behind Seinfeld, just continues to crank out hysterical comedy. Number eight, Lupin, season two, or part two, as they called it. Not as great as season one, but the French caper series. It's got great surprises and magic and James Bond-like gadgets. You would like this show. What is not to love about a gentleman bandit seeking revenge on those who have wronged his family? That is on Netflix.
Okay.
Next up, Yellowstone on NBC Paramount. It's bonanza if Hoss and Little Joe moved to modern-day Montana, if Kevin Costner took over for Lauren Green, and if the whole family was willing to kill and steal to protect their legacy. And for anybody who's caught up in season four, I just say that no other show is going to dare anything like the recent episode on horse mating, which I can't go into in detail, but it was something I've never seen on TV before and hope not to.
Mm.
Number six is the music documentary I'm putting on my top 10, which was McCartney 321. As I said, there were great documentaries this year. Get Back shows the Beatles, mostly Paul, creating this one with McCartney and music producer Rich Rubin. It's two guys in a studio, black and white. It goes over the Beatles' great music retrospectively. It allows for some great storytelling. Six parts, just half hour each. I mean, Ray, I definitely nerded out on going through the songbook and hearing how they put it all together. It's on Hulu, and I just loved that. Number five is Hacks. Jean Smart, the actress, had a hell of a year. She played the hilarious grandmother on Mare of Easttown. We'll be getting to that soon. And then she got to play a legendary Las Vegas stand-up comedian on Hacks. It's on HBO Max. It made the subscription worth whatever I paid for it. She got the Emmy this year for Outstanding Lead Actress in a Comedy, and boy, she deserves it. I am sure this show is going to come back for another season. I'll be all in. This was the best laugh-out-loud comedy of the year, was Hacks.
Okay. I heard really, really good things about it.
Yeah.
You know, the critics really loved it.
I know, which I find so amusing that you read so much about TV, and yet you watch virtually none of it.
Watch virtually nothing.
Number four, Unforgotten Season 4. I said I love the British cop shows. This was the best one of the year. Nicola Walker is the lead actor. She was terrific as the detective chasing down cold cases. Great storytelling, compelling characters, fascinating cases. It is very clear in the last episode that this is it for Forgotten, that's not coming back. So I would watch it all. If you haven't started season one, you can find it on Amazon Prime. Number three, you know how much I loved Only Murders in the Building on Hulu. It was a big year for Hulu. Three of my top 10 shows are on Hulu, and this was a great one. Steve Martin stars along with Martin Short and a very well-cast Selena Gomez, who I thought would be the weak aspect, but she's great, in a story about, three strangers who live in a luxury New York City apartment and wind up recording a true crime podcast after somebody gets murdered in their building. It's like a great version of the game Clue with laugh-out-loud moments from terrific actors. So number three is Only Murders in the Building. Number two, Ray, is Mare of Easttown. You watched it.
Yes, I did.
Maybe I got a little Delco prejudice here, but even beyond the wah-wah and the Eagles references, it was a great show. I've talked long enough. I'll let you pump this one up because I know you liked it a lot.
I liked it a lot, and we had the author, Brad Inglesby, came on our show and talked to us when the weekend of the final episode, and we really enjoyed that. I just thought it was terrific. But the hardest part for me was the first couple episodes sorting out the characters. I thought all the male characters looked exactly alike.
Yeah, they kind of had that look, yeah.
And honestly, for the first couple episodes, I had trouble telling one guy from the next. Guy Pierce, who plays sort of Kate Winslet's love interest, he didn't look like everybody else. He has sort of blonde hair, and so him I could figure out. The other guys, I was really having trouble sorting them out. But the one constant in the whole thing was Kate Winslet, who's the center of the story. And she was just brilliant. I mean, if the idea of Kate Winslet playing a former high school basketball star turned police detective in Delaware County seems like such a stretch. I mean, you talk about Rose from the Titanic. You know, the two characters are nothing alike. But she was really good. And the arc of her story, and Jean Smart as her mother, the story really kind of revolves around those two people and their relationship and her trying to sort out the issues from her past and trying to solve a murder at the same time. I thought it was just brilliantly done. I thought Brad Inglesby did a great job weaving all the stories together. And it just got more compelling by the week. And as it built and it built and it built towards the end where the question is, okay, who committed the murder? I thought it was extremely well written. I thought it was brilliantly acted. And I really liked it. You know, I don't know how I feel about it coming back because I think where it ended, I thought it ended.
It may not work. I know.
I thought it ended in just the right place. So, but it was so successful and it did so well. I had a feeling that, you know, Brad was going to be instructed by HBO to crank out another one. And Kate Winslet wants to do it. So,
yeah, she
wants
to.
Good luck trying to do it again. Good luck trying to top yourself. But what they did this year, I thought was brilliant. And it was suitably rewarded by numerous Emmy nominations and Emmy Awards, and it deserved every one of them.
So that was my second favorite show of the year. And by the way, in terms of trying to figure out who committed the murder, Ray, if you'd like to tip your cap here.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah,
you got it.
When you told me
who committed the murder, I thought, oh, now that seems like a stretch, but turned out you were right.
Yeah. All right. My number one show of the year. Some shows peak early, and you talk about Mary of Easttown, how are they going to do better than the first year? But one show that just gets better over the years is Succession on HBO. Season 3 was its best, and I think that it's got a chance, if it continues on this arc, to be regarded among the great TV dramas of the last 25 years, The Sopranos, The Wire, Breaking Bad. I mean, it's that terrific. Season 3 was right up there with those shows. Brian Cox is spectacular as a Rupert Murdoch, Ted Turner media mogul, you know, battling his family and his kids and his legacy. Role of a lifetime for him. I mean, for a guy his age to get a role like that is fortunate for him and fortunate for us. The season finale, which I just watched a week or two ago with the intrigue and the betrayal and the double dealing, was one of the best things I've seen in TV in a long time and sets up for a great season 4. So my number one show of the year is Succession on HBO.
Okay. Well, again, that's another one that everybody seems to like. So that seems like a good choice.
All right. So my top 10 shows of the year: Succession, Mayor of Easttown, Only Murders in the Building, Unforgotten, Hacks, McCartney 321, Yellowstone, Lupin, Curb Your Enthusiasm, and Dope Sick. And your top five movies?
Are Respect, The Story of Aretha Franklin, In the Heights, Lin-Manuel Miranda, Nobody with Bob Odenkirk playing a CIA assassin turned suburban husband, and Summer of Soul, and The Last Duel.
Very good. So we advise you to watch them all and enjoy. Let's get John in Collegeville. You're on with Ray and Glenn. Hey, John.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
All right. Thanks for hanging in.
I'll say this for the end of the weird moment, but the question is, right, you started off the show saying how the disadvantage the Eagles are at with the three games in 15 days, right? So I view one of the largest obstacles is the Giants game with a short week after Tuesday's game. You know, with the game on Tuesday, the next day you're probably going to have a rest day or limited practice, and then, you know, obviously you got Christmas Eve and Christmas Day coming up. So, you know, what do you think the practice and planning week looks like, and what type of disadvantage do you think that puts them against the Giants?
Well, there's not going to be much time for opening presents and eggnog. I mean, they're just going to have to go straight through. I mean, yeah, I don't think they're going to have a day off. First of all, the day after on Wednesday, you're going to have guys who are going to have to come in for treatment anyway. And then the coaches are going to have to meet and start putting the game plan together. And the guys will probably have to start having some kind of work. I mean, if they've probably actually started now this week, looking ahead to the Giants, which helps because you just played them a couple weeks ago. But they're probably putting some stuff in the books now, even before the Redskins game, even before the Washington game, to try and lighten the load on the other side. Because, yeah, there is the holiday stuff, there's the family stuff. But honestly, the players are going to have to sacrifice that, which is one of the unfair aspects of the whole situation they find themselves in.
Yeah, it's interesting.
All right, what is your weird moment in the Philadelphia sports history?
I'd say you got to say Phillies, the Game 5 World Series. You know,
of course. We waited all those days to see what would happen. The drama built up.
I mean, technically, the game by rule, under the circumstances, would have been called and the game would have been over. You know, and obviously, you can't really do that in the World Series, but, you know, having that.
No, it was something, and we got to talk about it for days. That's really a good one. I'm going to put you on hold. Ray, that versus the fog ball, already a tough debate for Ray Dinger's mind.
That they're both. a World Series, a clinching World Series game suspended over 72 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's. I thought of that one too. I don't know how I don't decide. I'll let Moshe decide.
Oh, you're passing on.
I'm gonna just hand this one off to Moshe.
All right, we're going to take a break. 215-592-9494. Now, when we come back, do I get to hear Ray Dinger's favorite Christmas song as a return?
Moshe already asked me for my song, and I gave it to him.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that. 215-592-9494. Ray and Glenn, special Sunday edition on 94 WIP.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Chestnuts
roasting on an open fire.
So you know what I see here, Ray?
What's that?
I see you in your Center City high-rise, late at night, with the wife. As you say, glass of wine. She's got a glass of wine.
My wife has the glass of wine.
You got the romantic Diet Coke.
Folks dressed up like but in a glass this time, instead of drinking it out of the can, just for the occasion.
Pulling out all the stuff.
Right.
Silk bathrobe, right?
And some mistletoe. I don't have one of those, but okay.
Over the fireplace, dog sleeping. Ray, it doesn't get more romantic.
Well, it works for me.
Well, good. That's what needs to happen.
Works for me. Yeah, I mean, that's my favorite. I mean, my mother and father were huge Nat King Cole fans, and so we played his music. There were two forms of music that played in my house all the time growing up, and one was Frank Sinatra, and the other was Nat King Cole. And around this time of the year, I could always count on that song being played, so it brings back very nice memories.
Nice, very nice. All right, Eagles do not play today. They play on Tuesday, but the issue at hand is what's going to be up with Jalen Hurts and his high ankle sprain. Dr. Mark Pollard, our friend from Cooper Bone and Joint, joins us now. So, Dr. Pollard, as we all know, Hurts sustained this a couple weeks ago. He did not play in the game against the Giants leading up to the bye. There was question as to whether he would play this week. He did have a full practice on Friday. He now gets a couple extra days, so we anticipate he will. But I guess our question to you is, what should we be watching for as he plays? I always preface this with, you're not his doctor, you're not looking at his x-rays, etc. But what's the risk? What are the limitations we should expect for a guy coming back from that?
Yeah, well, I think we were told the injury was an ankle sprain, but I thought it was not a high ankle sprain, a regular ankle sprain. So,
yes, well, that changed along the way, which was an interesting development, yeah.
Yeah, so obviously the high ankle sprains take a little bit longer to recover, but with any of those sprains, strains, you know, it's a stretch of a ligament, so the recovery is, variable depending on how severe the injury was. I think it's a good sign that he was, full participant in practice, of course. The things to look for is how well he's moving on his feet. And, for somebody like Hurts, his feet are more of a part of his game than, say, Tom Brady, just taking five steps back and looking for something to throw to. So I guess, how gingerly he's moving around, I think, is probably the important thing to look for.
How would you assess what the Eagles find themselves, the situation the Eagles find themselves in that now, at the end of a very long season, they're now going to have to play three games in 13 days, the way the schedule plays out. Just from a physical standpoint, just from you looking at it as a medical professional, what are you asking of these guys this late in the season? Because this seems like you're really, really putting these guys in a very tough spot.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously you want the time to recover, and clearly some people and teams recover more quickly than others. So, you know, it is a lot to ask to, you know, have this, you know, constant, you know, stresses on the body and the system, and maybe not having the, you know, recovery time that you're accustomed to. So, you know, it's an inconvenience. You know, I don't think it's an insurmountable thing, but, you know, it is something.
It is. We anticipate, well, I don't want to anticipate anything, but we hope it will not lead to further problems. Dr. Mark Pollard, you got any big holiday plans?
No, we actually just did our Christmas here because we're going to be out of town. So Merry Christmas to you guys.
Well, thank you. And
Merry
you enjoy
Christmas
yourself.
To you, Doctor.
Always a pleasure.
Thanks.
All right, sir. Be well. Yeah, I don't like any of this three games and, you know, whatever. It's nothing good is going to come of this.
No, it's not. Yeah. You know, I really did. We talked about it a little bit yesterday, and I kind of thought that we might see something, and maybe we will. I really thought that they might make the Eagles-Giants game a Monday night game.
Still could.
And, you know, I mean, they still could. I would have thought that thought would have occurred to them by now. But by making – and look, I'm not – far be it from me to ask for another night game because I am not a night game fan.
For you and I, on a personal level, I'd rather not have to work that, but yeah.
And but just to, in the interest of fairness here, I mean, with the Giants having a whole week and the Eagles being on a really short week, you can make Eagles-Giants Monday night and give the Eagles an extra day to prepare and to heal up. I think that would only be fair given the situation you're putting them in now. I actually kind of thought, I mean, it may well be under discussion at the league office even as we speak, but to me it seems like a very reasonable compromise to offer the Eagles to get them through this thing.
By the way, today is Giants-Cowboys. We'll talk about some of the games in the 12 o'clock hour, but it's Fan Appreciation Day for Giants fans.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what they get for that?
What?
A free medium Coke.
That's it?
They pulled out all the stops. That was once a proud and great organization.
Boy, they have talked about losing their way. I mean, they really have. Oh,
worst
by the way,
record
you know,
in football.
You know, what's that?
Over the last, I think they have the worst record in football in the last 5 years.
I would certainly think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and the thing is, the way their seasons play out, that they never really have a season. Like they start every year like 1-7.
Yep.
You know, and basically their season's over, and whatever you win in November, December almost doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's a darn shame.
Yeah, that is too bad.
Let's get Adam in Lancaster, who's been very patient. Hi there, Adam.
Hey, Glenn and Ray, how are you guys?
All good, right. How are you?
Oh, awesome. Hey, pleasure to talk to you. With this whole Washington situation, I turned your show on yesterday. I listen every weekend. And Ray, I don't think I've ever heard you as frustrated as that yesterday.
Well, you were listening closely. That's exactly how I felt. I was very, very frustrated with the league and very, very frustrated with the commissioner, which is nothing new, but this was just further reason why.
Well, I was listening to you guys and I totally understand. I'm just not sure why you make a policy and then you don't follow through on the policy. I mean, if you're going to do that, and in the back of your mind you know you're going to do that, what's the point of making the policy? And then for us to now have to play three games in 13 days, we're you know, almost paying for other people's mistakes. So I'm just a little lost. I think we all are at this point.
You said it well.
Yeah,
I can't answer those questions, but they're great questions.
Yeah, I think that the league's explanation or Goodell's explanation was to justify this. He said, "Listen, we didn't see, you know, when I made my statement back in the summer about about forfeits and all that kind of stuff. You know, we couldn't really foresee this variant coming along and being as contagious and as vicious as it is. This is sort of an unforeseen, he's saying kind of an unforeseen development within the virus itself. So we have to be able to adapt to the current situation.
Hey, Adam, did you notice the contempt with which Ray says the name Goodell?
Well, yes. I listen. Yeah, I work mainly on, obviously during the week and on Saturdays. I always have you guys plugged in while I'm working. And, you guys came on yesterday, and, Ray's usually 99% of the time always, happy-go-lucky, just looking forward to football. And you could tell right away when you introduced Ray, Glenn, that he was not happy.
I know. And, I enjoy those moments, to be honest with you.
It was semi-comical, but...
Do you have a strange moment in Philadelphia sports history?
I can't think of one off the top of my head. I think one coming up is going to be what Jeff Lurie decides to do moving forward, because he is 70 years old or so. Is he going to have the patience to draft three rookies, or is he going to try and pull another 2017?
It's a fair question. I think he's got the patience. I mean, Jeff Lurie's first of all, 70 not old these days.
No,
70 is the new 45, right?
So I'm told. I'm there,
and I know you are. And Lurie's not going anywhere. And
I don't think
Lurie's looking at the end game at this point. 215-592-9494. Coming up, we're going to talk to the guy with my money is the best columnist in this town, Mike Sielski. And we'll see if we can work all of the teams into that conversation. Ray Dinger, Glenn Mack now on 94 WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.